Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek on another dreary day here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm in sunny, hot Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, September 7th, 2011, episode 223. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi everybody.
Hi everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, good morning to everybody. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. And I'm going to take over this part of the show, Jennifer, because Glenn always screws this part up. And what we have to do at this point is we go to Jennifer and she tells us what's coming up on today's show, unless you're Glenn. And then you go ahead and tell everybody everything that's coming up on today's show. And then you ask Jennifer to tell everybody what is going on today's show. And it just never works out right, does it, Glenn? So, Jennifer, please.
No, and I really do want to sleep on the couch tonight, so thank you very much.
On today's Hit 'em Wednesday edition, we will start out with a look at dressage from a different angle in the new novel Dressage Chronicles by dressage competitor-turned-author Karen McGoldrick. And since we had a three-day weekend this past, we'll continue to catch up on Glenn and Jamie's weekend exploits and unfathomably awesome headlines. Additionally, Horse.com is here once again with incredibly informative horse health science stuff. Will we gross out, Glenn, or not?
Well, you know, last week was okay. I have hopes for this week that it's going to be okay, too. Daily Whinny time. My God, Jamie, that's the fastest we've ever gotten to a Daily Whinny. It's only 9:03. Usually it's 10 after and we're finally getting to the Daily Whinny. My Daily Whinny goes out to my old friend Sammy Sam, Samantha Clark. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Samantha. I know she got back into town. She was over covering Burley in England for Eventing Nation, and I know she got back in yesterday because she dropped me a little, or dropped a little note. So we're glad that she's back here in Lexington, although I think she'd rather be in England. So happy birthday, Sammy Sam. Your turn.
Speaking of Burley, actually, my Daily Whinny today is going out to Michael Pollard and his thoroughbred Icarus. Michael rides for the U.S. team and was one of the U.S. riders over at Burley to face the very tough challenge of the cross-country course. He and Icarus both had a fall over the water complex, but he thought he had broken his wrist. I mean, the horse was not doing well. It was just a big mess. They had to cart him off, of course, you know. Well, actually, Michael has arrived back in the U.S. last night. Icarus is still in England, but his groom is there saying he's just sore and he's got some swelling, but he's actually scheduled to return to the United States next week. So Daily Winnie goes out to Michael Pollard and Icarus. Get well soon. But Michael is actually qualified for the Pan Ams on a different horse, so they were really worried if he broke his wrist, he wouldn't be able to ride, but he didn't. He's feeling better, so good deal.
Hey, on that note, I wanted to tell you that tomorrow on the show, we have Kimberly Brown. You remember Kimberly, our adventurer, who's been all across the world, climbing mountains and stuff? She is, and it's filled in for you, actually, and she is coming on tomorrow because she was just down in Guadalajara, where the Pan Am Games are being held, and she's going to fill us in a little bit about the preparations down there and the Pan Am Games and tell us a little bit more about it from a perspective of somebody who was just there and watched them get ready for it. So,
good deal.
Do you know anything about the Pan Am Games?
I mean, I know about the eventing portion of it, but as far as Guadalajara and any other sport in the Pan Ams, no.
Me either.
I can't say. I really follow it.
She actually went to college in Guadalajara. So she knows that area a little more intimately than most. And she's going to be talking to us about that tomorrow.
So, Glenn, I got to get to this because I spoke to you over the weekend. And I need the update on this story because you wouldn't answer my questions about it yesterday. I need you to tell me. When I was walking into the grocery store, we were on the phone talking about whatever. And at that point, you said to me, what do you know about Jeep? And I said, Jeeps like the car Jeep? And you were like, yeah, what do you know about Jeeps? I was like, well, my mom has one. She's always had them, and she loves them. Why? He said, well, we're buying one right now. I got to go. So happened? Why were decided to buy a car?
Yeah, one of our cars is leased, and the lease is coming up. It's due. You know, we have to turn it in or buy it or whatever. And we thought, well, you know, we need something a little bit bigger because it's Toyota Matrix. And when we go to the remote locations and bring all our equipment along to do shows, it fills up the entire car. You remember that from going up.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't fit me in the car. You were like,
yes.
Did you actually bring luggage? We can't put your luggage in the car.
That's exactly right.
Your car is like the size of probably most people's guest bathroom. It's like a half bath. It's like so small.
Well, I don't know if I'd really compare it to something that had a toilet in it, but it is small. It is small. And we needed something a little bigger. So we were out car shopping. And we went to CarMax for the first time. And there are CarMaxes all over the place. And it was the first time we'd gone there. And I got to tell you, it's sort of like the Costco of car shopping. When you cannot get to the lot. By the way, the lots are huge. They have golf carts to take you around to the lot because it's so big. And so they have so many cars. Well, they route you. You can't get to the lot unless you go through the showroom. So you walk into the showroom and somebody greets you immediately with ultimate enthusiasm. And they proceed to explain to you how it works at CarMax. And, you know, when you walk in, you're going, oh, God. You know, because if you bought as many cars as Jennifer and I have over the years, you learn to hate car salesmen. And we walk in and, you know, you're going, oh, God, all I want to do is go out and look at cars. Well, they proceed to explain to you how it works. Well, it's a good thing they do because it's different there. Everything is no haggle pricing. The price is on the windshield. And, again, if you've ever shopped for used cars at a dealership, they never put the prices anywhere. They have to tell you what it is, and then you have to haggle about it. Well, that doesn't happen at CarMax. The price is the price. You take it or you leave it. So that was kind of nice, and they show you how to read it, and they put all the information is on the sticker on the window for the used car. And by the way, we never buy used cars. We always buy new ones. I've had bad luck with the used cars, but this time we decided we couldn't really afford a new Jeep, so let's take a look at some used ones. So we said, give us some time to look around the lot. She was great. She said, okay, you go look around the lot, and then she said, if you want to test drive anything, just let me know. So we go around, and we looked at all the SUVs up and down, and they had a bunch of Jeeps there. So by the time we got to the point where we were going, you know, I'd like to test drive this Jeep. It looks like a pretty good deal. She shows up in the golf cart like she knew. And we went up the test drives and everything. This was the most pleasant car buying experience we've ever had in our lives, ever. And we probably bought 20 cars over our lifetime. It was so nice. You go back in after we decided which one we wanted. We went back in, and we sat down with her, and she never leaves you. There's no go and talk to a manager, none of that crap. This thing is so automated that you fill out the form with her on the computer. You see the screen and everything. It goes over to their approval department for the loan. The approval comes back onto your screen. You hand the key over to a guy that shows up to go see about your trade-in, and then the price for the trade-in shows up on the screen. Everything is automated. You never leave your salesperson, and you never talk to a manager. It's none of that games like you usually have. It was, again, the most pleasant buying experience. Plus, they have a five-day return policy where you can return the car within 5 days, and you get your money back. No questions, no nothing. Well, what happened was we got the car home, we got the Jeep home, and there was a mistake on the thing. It said it was an all-wheel drive, and I kind of was, you know, I didn't know Jeeps, later Jeeps. I thought they might have had all-wheel drive. Well, I found out it was a two-wheel drive. They had it marked wrong. So we brought it back the next day. They took the Jeep back, no questions asked, said, yep, you're right, we have the sticker wrong. And they didn't have another one quite like it. Well, they searched and found a better one down in Georgia. And they're having it shipped up, no expense to us. Normally that's a small fee to have one shipped in from another CarMax. They're having it shipped up, no expense to us. We look at it when it gets here. If we want it, we can buy it. So it was just the easiest thing you've ever done. We returned the car the next day, and it was just, we signed four papers, that was it. There was no arguments, nothing. It was, again, I don't know if other people have had bad experiences with CarMax, but I have to say, and this is not a paid commercial, I just, you know, when you have a good experience at a car dealer, you want to tell somebody.
I absolutely hate CarMax more than anything. But I've never tried to buy a car from CarMax. I've tried to sell a car to CarMax maybe like four different times. And the reason that, I don't know about the pricing for buying cars, but I do believe that most of the people that sell cars to CarMax just want to get rid of the car. And I was at a point when I was moving here, I had a Volkswagen Jetta. I've tried to sell trucks to them before. And, you know what your truck is worth. Because you can look up your car on, the Kelley Blue Book and find out what your car is worth. However, so you get the trade-in value. They'll give you this value. They'll give you this value. CarMax will give you half of the lowest one. I mean, they make so much money because they do not pay for their cars. I have stormed right before I moved to Phoenix. I wanted to sell my Jetta, and I stormed out of CarMax. I was so mad. My Jetta was, I think I still had like $8,000 on the payments, and the car's worth about $12,000. They offered me $4,000. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Is this a joke? They were like, well, this and this, and your tires need new tires. I was like, I just bought those tires 2 weeks ago, you jerk. Like, literally, it was like such a ripoff to try to sell a car. So, I would be curious. You can call about anything, but has anybody else had an experience at CarMax? 347-637-3238. This is really good that this is a podcast and an independent company because I'm Horse Radio Network, because I'm pretty sure if we were on a different radio station, we'd probably get in trouble for this, Glenn. Would we get in trouble for reviewing CarMax?
I don't know. I had a good experience, so they're not going to argue with that, I'm sure. And I haven't tried to just sell a car there either. Obviously the trade-in value they gave us was very fair and was right at Blue Book. So but they were also selling us a car. So it's a different story altogether. But yeah, we would love to have callers today about any topic. 347-637-3238. There's a question of the day I want to get to, and I want to talk to you a little bit about, and that is the subject of whipping racehorses. And what we're mainly talking about, is how they whip them down the home stretch. And it's been a little bit of controversy here in the last couple of years, the whole topic of whipping racehorses. I want to really make that the question of the day on Facebook. There was a study, and this was done by Professor Paul McGreevy, and I found this, Fran Yerga posted this, so thank you, Fran. University of Sydney's Faculty of Veterinary Science did a study, and this was in Australia, and let me just read this paragraph. Researchers tell us that Australian racehorses collectively receive more than 1 million whippings a year because of long-held belief among jockeys and trainers that the practice enhances a horse's performance and rider's safety. In addition to the questionable morality of flogging tired horses for human entertainment, love that line, groundbreaking research has cast real doubts on the effectiveness of whipping to get horses over the finish line. Well, they did this study, and they studied tons of races. And what they were studying was the last 600 yards, that time down the home stretch. And what they found was that whipping does not increase a horse's chance of finishing in the top three, and that actually they run faster when they're not being hit. Now, this is kind of one of my topics. I don't like it. I think if you outlawed whipping, if they weren't even allowed to hold a whip when they were racing, first of all, they could have two hands on the wheel, just saying. Second thing is you make it a level playing field. It then becomes level. Nobody's hit whipping, so it's, again, a level playing field. Nobody has an advantage. As long as nobody can do it, then nobody has an advantage. That particular thing is not become an advantage anymore. So, you know, I think that with studies like this, I hope that with scientific research behind it, that it'll either be legislated out or it'll just become a thing not to do it. Now, you were on the track. What are your thoughts about it? You didn't ride as a race jockey, but you were an exercise rider and you were around the racetrack.
I absolutely think that without a doubt, whipping should be banned from racing. You know, it's one thing to have a dressage whip or a crop and tap your horse. These guys full on, I mean, you can see it. You know, some of these guys, not all of them, full on beat the horses down the end. And to me, it would really level the playing field. You're right. If it was outlawed, I think it's excessive, and I don't think it's effective at all. One of my friends, Jack, who remember when I was in Lexington and I went to Keeneland and my friend's horse won the race and I got to be in the winner's circle photo?
Yep,
I was so excited.
Yeah.
I asked him about that ride and he said he was very upset with the jockey because this filly was like 8 lengths in the lead and he went to his stick. Like 5 lengths before the finish line and just hit her like 4 times. And he actually said that he's watched the video and when that jockey hit her those 3 or 4 times, she slowed down. I mean, because like this horse is running its heart out for you and you're still going to hit it with a stick. It's just second nature, I think, to those jockeys now to use their whips because they've become such a part of the racing life. And they're coming down the home stretch and just hit, 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 tap, 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 tap. But it's not a tap. It's like a beep, 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 beep. And I find it a little bit excessive and I find it ridiculous. And I really wish it would be banned. I think it would really do good for racing if they could ban whips. You can cluck to your horse. You can encourage. You can kiss. You can do whatever. I really don't think that. I think it would be a really good thing for racing's people's view of racing if they would outlaw the whips.
Well, we agree on that one. And, you know, they're doing so much with drugs and everything else now, they have outlawed Lasix in some places. And, you know, we just picked up Flair as a new sponsor of the Horse Radio Network. And I had a very interesting conversation with the doctor who designed the Flair nasal strips. You're familiar with those, being an inventor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the science behind them and everything. It was absolutely fascinating. And, you know, we're going to be running those little segments on the various shows here over the next couple of months. I just think that once you level the play, if nobody's allowed to use Lasix, it's a level playing field. If nobody is allowed to whip, it's a level playing field. But I believe that the only way you're going to get to that, unfortunately, and I'm almost a libertarian. I don't believe in any legislation, but I think that the only way you're going to get there is to legislate this out because you're always going to have those people saying, well, if I just had my whip, then I could have won. You know, the other guy had his whip. I didn't use mine. I could have won. You're always going to have that human doubt unless nobody's allowed to use it. So I'm with you on that one. I'd be interested to see what everybody says. And if you have any opinion on this, give us a call at 347 637-3238, and Jennifer's going to post it as the Facebook question of the day. Jamie, we have a caller on the line here. We have, I believe this is our friend Chrissy Joy. How are you, Chrissy?
Hi, stranger. How are you?
I haven't talked to you in a while. Chrissy moved to Texas a while ago.
I headed to Dallas. I'm like totally a stranger now. I'm like, I got to call in and we have to catch up.
Chrissy actually has co-hosted the show here on occasion and lived in Lexington and moved away a couple months ago and has been busy, you know, absorbing the Dallas heat, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's been 111 for 53 days, and we just broke our triple digits, and now it's like island weather, but we still need rain, and there's wildfires, so when you step outside, you can actually smell smoke. So always something in Texas.
And you don't sound like a Texas girl either. I got to tell you, you haven't picked up any of the southern accent.
I can if I want to, but I refuse to say y'all. I still say you guys, which is very New Jersey.
Yeah, you're gonna have to fix that.
I know.
Jamie had to go the other way. She had that southern accent, and she had to go try and fix it to not be a southern accent.
I find it really nice, especially when they say ma'am. A lot of guys here say, you know, thank you, ma'am. And I'm just totally blown away by that. I'm just like, what? I almost laugh. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, Chrissy grew up on the Jersey Shore. She wasn't used to being called ma'am.
Yeah, you don't really get ma'am.
They call you guys other names. Yeah, I've seen the show.
Yes.
But you know you cannot breed out y'all. If you're Southern, you cannot breed out y'all. I still say y'all all the time, even though I was on the radio and I got in trouble.
I find that so kind. Like, some people are like, oh, ha ha, that's so Southern. And I'm like, you know, I find it really, if that's their one word that they use a contraction for that's not really a contraction, you know, that's fine. Give them a break. I think the Jersey Shore has a lot more words and phrases they need to boot out just because it's rude.
have you been riding at all? Have you found a barn down there?
Yes, actually, when I first moved down here, I was like, oh my gosh, everything is so far away that you really, like, an hour is considered local, which was really crazy. But that's Texas. Everything's bigger here. And I found this beautiful barn called the North Texas Equestrian Center. It actually has two trainers that were at the World Equestrian Games last year. So I found that really awesome. And they also teach with the para dressage team. So I found that, like, oh, I walked in and I recognized people. And actually they had your radio buzzing on their headsets, you know, because they're all walking around listening to the radio. And I was like, that's Glenn. But I actually started to ride there, and I teach lessons on the weekends. I do the hunters, some dressage lessons, some kids, and I'm just enjoying it. I'm able to get back in the saddle, and then there's other barns that I'm helping out at to make some extra money and just, you know, meet other people in the area who love to ride. There are so many equestrians out here. It's just the fact that it's so hot, so we're kind of nocturnal.
Jamie can relate to that.
You have to be a little nocturnal.
Well, that's kind of cool that you heard people listening to our show in the barn. I think that's a first spotting of that that we got a report, so that's kind of neat. Now, you also have something else going. I saw on your Facebook page, I was over there this morning, and, you know, you're kind of an actress and a model, and you've been on this show before co-hosting when Jamie's been out. But this new thing, you what exactly is it?
Yeah, I guess you can't miss it because I made it like the huge banner on my Facebook. When I first got down here, there was a competition for Texas Motor Speedway, which is like NASCAR.
Yeah,
really big time, which is big down here, and it was pretty popular in Kentucky too. There's a contest for a new spokesperson and model, and I was like, oh, I'll just enter. My sister's like, enter. So I was like, fine, I'll just enter and ignore it. It'll go away. And it didn't, and I realized that this actually is an awesome opportunity, and I got in as one of the finalists. So I read more about it and learned more about it, and it actually allows you to be like a spokesperson, to travel, meet people, talk to others, get involved, and that's basically what I want to do down here. And I made it as a finalist. So now I'm in the last believe it or not, Glenn, I'm in the last, like, 10, you know, that will be chosen for an interview. So I'm like, all right, it's awesome. So I think it ends Friday.
I'm looking at your page here, and it looks like you're currently running in fifth position.
Yeah.
I love how they say that. You know what, though? You know what, Chrissy? One wreck in front of you, and you could win this thing.
I know. That's true. And you know how me, I like to go fast, so...
So people can actually vote for you here, because I've been voting for you. I go on every day and vote for you.
Thanks,
Glenn. So I'm going to vote for you again today.
I can't, like, track how many or anything like that, but, yes, you can just go to the website and vote for my picture, and you can read a little bit about each model, but I think I'm the coolest. But
you know what, though? This is a Texas Motor Speedway. You better darn well learn how to say y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Chrissy, please do not tell anybody you're from Jersey. You will be kicked out of there so darn fast. That's it's like if you ask for salsa, do not say that stuff's made in New York City. Like, don't say that. Everything should be made in Texas. Texas is the only place you have dreamed. This is what your little speech should be. They're going to interview you, you know, like, why do you think you should be the Texas Motor Speedway spokesmodel? And this is what you need to say. Well, y'all, my dream has been to come to Texas my entire life, and I've always wanted to win and be a part of the Texas Motor Speedway, and I love all y'all, and I hope for peace on earth.
There you go.
I like that.
Can you record that and just use it?
I am going to have to practice that. I actually can have the accent, and I've been caught with it, but it's a really gross New York, Texas mix, so it comes out really weird.
Well, you know what? We have Tammy. Tammy lives in Texas. She was from Australia. She has an Australian southern accent, and it came out kind of good, actually. So
that sounds like it would be really cute and wholesome.
Is.
And mine sounds like it would be rude and polite and confusing.
All right. So I'll tell you what we'll do for you. Jennifer will post a link to where people can vote for you. And it's easy and simple. And you don't get spammed or anything. And we'll try and make the New Jersey girl the next Texas Motor Speedway.
Thank you. I'm looking for a job, and this would be an awesome one to get, that's for sure. And I know I do good, even though I sound like I'm from New Jersey. So,
right.
That's the good thing. If you sign up, there is no spam. So that's the one thing I like, because I wouldn't want any of the voters to be burdened by anything later.
Chrissy, hold on. Before we let you go, we need to practice a little bit. So I just want you to repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
Oh, y'all, she's so sweet.
Oh, y'all, she's so sweet.
Tweak that a little bit, you'll have it.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Okay. I'm from Texas.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
It's a work in progress.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Oh, she's so sweet. Sweet, Glenn. She's so sweet.
I think she'll be practicing now all day. I know her.
Can we just record your voice and I'll go in and just play you?
There you go.
I'd like to thank Jesus. I'd like to thank Jesus. Everybody else. Okay, let's stop.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
You just can't quit when you get into that southern accent. You just have to keep going all the time.
Need some help though, Glenn. I'm going to call her after the show. Give me your number and we'll have to go over some stuff, because there's certain things. If you're trying to be basically a pageant queen in Texas, she's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole Jersey thing, I think it's hard to get rid of it. Once it's ingrained, it's hard to get rid of.
I would imagine. I mean, you know, it's Jersey. I think it's like it's definitely in their skin tone. They all turn orange.
She's funny. She lived right on the beach, right at Jersey Shore, right where they filmed the show. She knows the situation. And before he was a star, and when he was just a plain jerk without being a star. So, and she's nothing like them. She's just nothing like them. And she really doesn't like that whole scene. So, and she thinks that show has really ruined her, where she grew up, for her. So it's interesting to hear it from a local's perspective. Well, we are going to get to talk to a little bit of dressage here in a minute for the new author about a new book. But first, I wanted to mention that Really Bad Ads is coming up on Friday. And this week, the winner gets Dr. Rose's gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedy Skin Treatment is an all-natural herbal salve that promotes rapid and complete healing of skin ailments. It can be used on a wide variety of animals, including dogs, cats, and horses. You can find information about it at drrosesremedies.com. And you have until the end of the day, Thursday, to get your ads in for Really Bad Ads this week. And we've been getting a lot more submissions, and we really appreciate it. So now let's do our commercial for FeedXL, and then we'll come back with Karen McGoldrick, author of The Dressage Chronicles. If you're looking to make sure that you're feeding your horse correctly, that you're doing things properly by your horse and what you're putting in your horse's mouth, whether it's hay or grain or supplements, then you really need to take a look at FeedXL.com. If you go there, just spend a few minutes. First of all, they have a ton of information on there for free. You can just check it out and read it, all the different articles and everything, that, and you'll learn a lot just by going to the website. But you also can use their calculator, put in all the information about your horse, put in all the information about what you feed your horse, and it's going to spit out some in-depth reports with charts and graphs and show you the different areas where your horse is lacking or the areas where you're feeding too much. And you can actually save money by reducing certain vitamins or minerals. It can all be done on FeedXL.com. Well, we have somebody here that you know, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm very excited. This came up, I guess, about a week or so ago. The book, Karen McGoldrick's book, was getting reviewed on our show. And I said, Karen McGoldrick, dressage trainer. I know her. When I was a child, I used to ride at a place called Little Creek Ranch or Little Creek Farms. And my instructor was a woman named Kay Smarslick, who was just awesome. And Kay, every so often, would go back to Germany. She was German, and she would buy horses or ride horses out there. I don't know what she did. But she'd have a fill-in instructor come in, and that was a woman named Karen McGoldrick. So I actually took lessons from Karen when I was a kid. And she is actually on the line with us right now because I'm very proud to say she is now an author of Dressage Chronicles. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Jamie, you young thing, you.
She hasn't been called that in a long time. Just saying.
I'll take that.
Well, you know, I don't consider myself old, so, you know, I must have been like a baby also when I was teaching you. So that's all I can say about that.
She was like 12 when she was your instructor.
I was a very early riding instructor, yes, in my teens. Not exactly, but anyway, we'll go with that, okay?
All right, sounds good. Now, Karen has a beautiful facility up in Alpharetta, Georgia, where she does a lot of riding and training still. And is everything going well up there?
Well, yes, although it was so strange. You know, I finished my novel, and I don't want to have any spoilers, but my beautiful, 2 days before Christmas, my beautiful Hanoverian mare suddenly died. It was just, as you can imagine, it's always heartbreaking. I'd put 6 years of training into her, and she went into organ failure, and it took them weeks of toxicology and stuff to say that she had ingested an aflatoxin, which is sometimes found in hay, and my hay tested out fine, and the other horses were fine, but she got the bad mouthful.
Wow.
So I've had to really kind of step back and regroup and make a new plan. And I have horses here and I'm riding, but I don't have one of my own right now. And I'm hoping that everyone out there will buy a book and buy her next dressage horse. But, yeah, it means starting over again, probably with another young horse. And so that was kind of a big slap down, but that is also part of a life with horses, isn't it?
It sure is. I'm tremendously sorry about that. So I think this is going to be just a good excuse to sell a lot of books and go back to Germany and import another horse. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and actually a student of mine just had one arrive Monday morning, a three-year-old. Oh, my God, here we go. But it's so exciting, and I said horses and babies always arrive in the dead of night, so he came in at 4 a.m. and spectacular. We put him on the lunge line yesterday, and everybody's jaw dropped. So, you know, here goes a new adventure, and I'll be helping. She's a fantastic rider herself, but, you know, here we go again on another journey. So every horse is a whole new adventure.
Absolutely. You could probably write a chapter about every horse you've owned or ridden. So.
Absolutely. And each horse also, because I tend to keep my horses forever, they kind of join the family. But they each sort of mark a period of my life, you know, and each horse you ride helps you tremendously with the next one. You get better and faster and smarter. Definitely smarter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tell us about Dressage Chronicles. First of all,
yes.
Congrats on writing a book and getting
Thank
it published.
You.
And I know there's years that go into that, so it's
yeah.
finally to print.
Yes, it's wonderful to hold it in my hand. It's a beautiful book. You know, I really thought, I've written a lot of magazine articles, and just for your listening audience out there, I am a USDF bronze, silver, and gold medalist on horses. I trained myself. I am a USDF certified instructor through fourth level, which is their highest level. I've been a working student. I've had working students. And I thought about, you know, what can I add to the literature out there? I mean, I'm always writing kind of funky, offbeat articles. Like my first article in Dressage USDF Connection magazine was on rider chafing, because I thought, well, what the hell? Nobody's writing about this. But, I mean, for some people, it's a real problem, you know? It was called rub the wrong way, you know? So.
Now, what do you mean by rider chafing? Explain that.
Chafing, chafing, like, oh, my God. You know, a lot of women
like
really have
like, I can't sit down.
What's that?
Like, I can't sit down. It hurts.
Yes, hello. Like, where's the frozen bag of peas to hold to my crotch after I get off? So, you know, but I also was thinking in this novel, I was thinking, what can I add to the literature? There's way better trainers and riders out there who are writing training books.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
Hold on. In 1,500 episodes we've done on the Horse Radio Network, that statement has never been made before.
And really?
Yeah.
Where's the bag of frozen peas to hold in my crotch?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be pulling that one out for future use, so thank you very much, Karen.
Oh, well, hello. But what I'm saying there, Glenn,
I know.
Now let's get past the image of the crotch and the frozen peas, is that I was trying to think, what could I add to the body of literature out there that is new and different? What do I have to add that's of value to people? And I thought, rather than another boring, sorry to say boring, but manual of how to ride a proper shoulder in, I can tell a story, and I can make dressage interesting and compelling by putting it in the form of a story. And I think I've done that, and I think I can continue. Lizzie's my character, main character, because people can connect to Lizzie and her ups and downs and what it's like actually to be down there in the trenches trying to learn the sport.
Wow. And you know what, Karen? So many times you'll read a horse book or watch a horse movie, and as a horse person, you're watching what's going on, and you're like, that is totally not how people do it. That is
right.
Totally wrong. Or the horse whinnies throughout the entire movie. Or
right.
Just the words are incorrect. And coming from a gold medal USDF judge, I mean, there's going to be none of that. It's actually going to be correct. So it's going to be
yes.
a story.
It's an authentic
real
story.
Words.
And I didn't let anybody make me dumb it down. And then the other thing that's sort of funny is, you know, men are in the story, and Lizzie's 22, you know, so, I mean, come on, it's really tough if you're a woman, and, you know, you would like to have a man in your life, but come on, the dressage world is not an easy place to meet.
Dudes.
Yes, so, I mean, I have that as
Boy,
part of...
Boy, she did make this realistic.
Yeah, but, you know, I have this part of the story, But the reality is the story is really about women and really about women and really about horses. And I think if there's anybody out there who wants to try to understand what is this weird connection, what is this weird passion and commitment that women have towards their horses, I think after you read my novel, you'll understand that better, you know, as much as we understand it ourselves.
Is anybody in the dressage world still talking to you? Just ask.
That's a really good question. You know, it's so funny. I had a really good friend of mine who is a fantastic trainer herself say, oh, I can't wait to read the book because I want to know who I am in the book. Well, I had to say, I'm sorry, sweetie, because I tried my best not to base anybody on anybody, but to make sort of composite characters that represented maybe what you would call an archetype. You know.
Oh, you mean that bratty little kid who wouldn't shut up and had the little southern accent and he kept falling off the horse wasn't Jamie?
No, that's not Jamie. Oh. And I'll fight anybody who says it is. But yeah, and then of course, you know, we have this disclaimer that this is a novel. This is not a, you know, nonfiction. This is fiction. But on the other hand, my coach that I work with, one day I was saying, you know, I'm so wrapped up in the lives of these imaginary people and I'm staying awake at night worrying about them, and he said, Karen, do you think that's healthy? You know, I'm living in this alternate reality. But they all became very real to me. I do have to confess that the dogs are a little more based on real dogs, and I actually used some real dog names. And then some of the horses I did base a little bit on real horses. Like Lizzie's horse, Winsome, is not exactly my Wasabi horse, but in my mind, I thought of Wasabi when I pictured Winsome.
Wow. That's cool that you could be able to do that. Now, Karen, I remember the horse you had when I was growing up was this big, fancy, I think he was a bay warm blood. Was he a Hanoverian?
No, I mean, when I was at Little Creek, the exciting thing, and I don't know if you were there in 89, is one of the Holsteiners, that Kay imported Holsteiners. And
yes,
he imported this mare named Karibik, who was the nicest thing I had ever sat on, and I couldn't afford to buy her. But when they bred her, I wanted the foal, and it was very exciting. The vet ended up inducing the labor, so we were all there, and if it was a filly, the owner was going to keep it, and if it was a colt, it was mine. And it was such an exciting thing to roll this little thing over and see, oh, goody, it's a colt, it's mine. Well, that horse was the horse I took Grand Prix. His name was Mandamus.
Yes.
And
Mandamus knows it.
Mandamus, a big white blaze, Holsteiner, chestnut. But I got to ride my first Grand Prix on that horse, and it was a long journey, and I used to say he was the spookiest darn thing. I used to say he gave me many near-death experiences. But I survived them all. He bucked me off in the warm-up before my very first Grand Prix test. So it didn't matter that he was highly trained, you know. He was a booger, and he still is teaching people to ride now up in New York. Well, he was born in 89, so I don't know. He's old, but he's still going. And I heard somebody called to me to say, oh, they talked to somebody who was taking lessons on him up in New York, and she said, gosh, he's kind of spooky. And I thought, wow, yep. Some things don't change.
Oh, that's great. Yes, I remember when Mandamus was born because I was there. I was, Glenn, I was a barn rat, basically.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for you to believe. But
yeah, it's real tough.
Yeah,
don't you remember Dr.
those...
Collins induced the labor because he was going out of town or something.
Dr. Collins, that is the epitome of your horse vet right there. I mean,
yes.
He actually passed away working on a horse. He had a heart attack and died while underneath the horse.
He
just worked himself to death. But I remember Little Creek was a place where it was a public boarding facility in Atlanta, and there was none of those. It was like 40, 50 stalls crammed into this place, an indoor arena.
Yeah, 60
kind of
stalls.
Yeah, crazy big place. And I would hang out there on the weekends with my friends. Again, I'm a 12-year-old girl at a barn with 60 horses. And the phone would always ring. And anytime the phone rang, Karen, what did somebody want? They wanted to ask you to do them a favor. Hey, will you turn my horse out? Will you clean my stall? Do you mind lunging my horse? Will you do this? Will you do this? And most people would, the phone would ring and everybody would
pick it up.
No, nobody would, except for me. I would, I got it, because it was something to do.
Yeah.
Nothing to do.
Sucker.
It'd be Karen.
Well,
hey, Jamie,
there are two kinds, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here like I always do. There are two, having owned a big barn before, there are two kinds of barn rats. There's the helpful little ones like Jamie apparently was, and then there's the annoying bratty ones. That's the name. So apparently you were one of the good ones.
I don't know, Karen, about it. Was I annoying?
No, I don't remember ever being annoyed by you, you know. But you're right, you know, it was so funny last time I heard you say, you know, that I was a tack cleaning freak. And let me tell you, when I first started working for Kay, she was making coffee every morning in a pot that had mildew in it. And this is Atlanta, Georgia. Believe me, anything turns green if you leave it hanging up. And I went into that tack room and I was the white tornado. And I started every day by scrubbing her coffee pot. I think I even bought some of that stuff you run through to get all the crap out of it. I mean, that place was filthy. The indoor ring, the stalls were around the indoor, so all the dust that the horses kicked up coated everything, and I just was frantic, crazy, bizarre, you know, scrubbing. People wouldn't clean up the wash stalls after themselves, you know, 60 horses. I mean, Glenn, you can imagine. I was just...
Yeah.
Always a whirlwind trying
to
had come.
Karen,
I came
we always
out
said
of
after
the,
17 it was nuts. I can't imagine after 40.
Oh, 60 horses. It was really crazy. And I came from the hunter jumper world before that. I went to Sweetbriar College and my student job was cleaning tack. So every day I cleaned all this, you know, rich kid border, you know, the full border people's tack, and on Fridays I took everything apart, scrubbed everything, and put it back together. And then I was a working student for someone who was the same way. You know, we kept everything spit spot. So then I land at Little Creek where everything's coated with dirt and mildew, and and I just was constantly – I was there some nights till 10 o'clock at night. And, that was hard.
Well, now, I have a question for
and
you.
Just going to say, that's what I remember about her, was standing in that tack room cleaning tack all the time.
Yeah.
Now, you wrote a book about dressage. It's called Dressage Chronicles, and you worked in the Hunter Jumper world before. So is Hunter Jumper next, the Hunter Jumper Chronicles? Or are we saving that for Georgina Bloomberg?
Well, you know, I'm very attached to – well, Glenn, you got to read my book. Because when you finish the book, you know that Lizzie's journey has just – started. She's got a long road ahead of her, and I can keep writing about Lizzie because, you know, I know all about Lizzie's life. But I also have other stories in me. I'll probably try some other things, but I can tell you that everything I write is going to have horses in there, because that's what I know the best.
Absolutely. Now, Karen, the book is Dressage Chronicles.
Yes.
Where can people get it?
Well, I'm on Amazon, but I also have my own website. If people want signed copies, they can go to my website. There's a calendar. I'm trotting all over the place. This week, I will be at the American Eventing Championship signing. I'm going to be at Equine Affair in November. I'm going to be down at Ocala one night with Bill Wood signing books at the Region 3 Championships. I'm going to be at Pretty in Pink, which is a breast cancer fundraiser. I've got another fundraiser I'm going to be at Serenity Farms. I mean, I've got a lot of things I'm doing.
They can get a signed copy through you through the website, too?
Yes. There's a contact field. You can write me messages on the website, which is thedressagechronicles.com, so that's pretty easy. I'm also on both Kindle and Nook, Barnes & Noble Nook, for those people who want to do e-readers.
Okay.
All right. So thedressagechronicles.com.
Yes.
And everybody can go get a signed copy. You can find it on any of those other avenues. Karen, first of all, just congratulations.
Thank you,
Jamie.
Well done.
And We're very proud of you and fantastic work. I cannot wait to read it. And good luck with the future books.
Thank you so much for being
on the show.
And I know Kay is smiling down from heaven.
Oh, what a good lady. I definitely learned a lot from her. I'm sure
yes,
you did,
we
too.
Did.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Karen.
All righty.
She didn't tell any bad stories about you.
I was a little surprised. I thought it would be you were a barn dog and you were annoying. Because I really was. I was one of those ones like, can I ride your horse? They were like, no, go away, little girl. oh, my gosh. But, no, it was a very fun experience. I mean, I grew up in that barn. That is where I learned Kay was my dressage instructor. That's how I started was in dressage. And that's just cool that you hear a voice from your past like that.
Now, did the vet actually die under a horse?
He did. He absolutely did. He's the one that sent my old thoroughbred up for colic surgery. He was there. We had ponies in my backyard, and Dr. Collins would come out, and, you know, a pony would be choking on fishing wire because my brother went fishing and left all the fishing wire there, and, of course, my pony ate it. You know, Dr. Collins is out there trying to get fishing wire out of a Shetland pony's throat. You know, I mean, just stuff like that. Like, he was just always there, and he did. He ended up working a lot for the zoo and got very into doing exotic animals, and then was underneath a horse, had a heart attack, and died. And
wow.
It just couldn't have been a more fitting end for a guy that dedicated his entire life to taking care of horses. Sad,
wow.
But appropriate, you know what I mean?
Yep, definitely. Well, that was fun. It was fun hearing you talk to somebody from your past. That was kind of cool. And we're going to be back talking about regenerative medicine. We're going to figure out what that is with thehorse.com right after we hear from Kempston Thompson, I'd Rather Run Than Crawl. This is her song, and enjoy. Templeton Thompson, I'd Rather Run Than Crawl. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. I just got a note here that I thought I would share with everybody. This is from Lynn Reardon, and it's about 2 pages long, and I was trying to read it during the song. She is from LOPE, which was the Texas rescue that we've had her on the show before, and she had to evacuate all the horses yesterday. And I'm going to try and give you the Reader's Digest. She wrote a really long note here. She said the horses are fine. They've basically been scattered. She's probably going to be needing to coordinate foster homes for her horses. And she said, unfortunately, she predicts that there are going to be many horses that are current race horses that are going to need homes that have been burnt out of their farms as well. So she predicts that some of those will be retired and put out the homes immediately. So the need for a place like hers, which takes in these retired racehorses, is even going to be more critical. She says so many racehorse owners here were on the edge between the very dire state of the racing industry in Texas and the high cost of the extreme drought here. Additional funds are going to be needed just to keep these horses, basically alive. And it's just a mess. Now, she hasn't said, she didn't say anything about whether she knows whether her place is still there or not. There's nothing in here about that. She actually does have her annual fundraiser coming up on the 17th, and she's not sure what's going to happen with that either. And if you remember right, she didn't know anything about horses. She moved from the Northeast, started LOPE, and, just started taking in horses and learned along the way. She wrote a book about it, and, she's just a neat lady. And LOPE, by the way, is Lone Star Outreach to Place X Racers, and she tries to do that from Texas. So that's an update from Lynn. Thank you so much, Lynn, for sending that along, and we'll try and keep in touch with her and help her any way we can.
I would like to go ahead and volunteer myself.
Oh, Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie, you are sounding really, really bad. I think you're going to have to try again. Jennifer, were you hearing that, or is it just me?
Jamie is definitely turned into a character from Doctor Who, and it's one of the baddies.
Okay, and am I sounding okay?
Glenn, you sound like the good guy on Star Trek.
Oh, perfect. Jed, glad you didn't say Captain Kirk.
This coming from a man who's had his picture taken in Captain Kirk's chair from the Bridge of the Enterprise.
Taken. That's right. I had my picture taken in his chair from the Bridge of the Enterprise. That is correct. And I was so proud to sit in that chair. I was a big Star Trek fan from the very beginning. For sure. All right. Why don't you see if we can round up the horse, and we'll get to them next. They're going to be
Hey, Glenn, am I back now? Do I sound okay?
You sound much better now. Thank you very much. Yes.
Okay, good. Just a comment about the LOPE thing. I do have one stall available, and I'm currently shopping online, and Jimmy is really cute. Miracle I will take as well. I'd be happy to give Dish a new home.
So I should let her know that you'll take 3 or 4 of them?
I have one stall open right now, and as you know, that means I should take 2. Always have one more than one stall you have.
All right, we're going to be talking to everybody from the horse here shortly. One of the things that was mentioned, that she mentioned, is she's going to be over at the National Eventing Championships, which we have not mentioned, is happening this weekend in Chattahoochee Hills Farm, which, have you ever been there? That's right outside of Atlanta.
Can I just tell you that the year I moved away was the year of the first horse trial in Atlanta? I mean, come on. Are you serious? Seriously, they started it the year I left. I've been driving all over the Southeast to compete, and there's one literally half an hour from me, and I never have actually been there, ever. Stinks.
That's the way it always happens, though, isn't it? It's just the way it
You know what,
happens.
Though? I got to make a comment about this AECs thing, because I'm mad at it. I did get to compete at the AECs when it was in North Carolina. It was like a thrill of a lifetime, because it is, you're competing with, I mean, you're actually at the same horse trial with the professionals. You know, Bruce Davidson was there riding. Denny Emerson was there coaching. I mean, it's really cool because you get to rub elbows with all of the top riders. You know, Boyd Martin's out there. hacking his horse. And this year, my coach, Barb Crabo, is actually competing in the advanced division at the AECs. And again, that's the American Eventing Championships. It's tough to qualify for it. You have to win one or two horse trials to actually qualify for it. So she's there. And I have a horse show. My second horse trial with Jet is not this weekend, but the next weekend. Now, my arena is not finished, and my coach is out of town, so I cannot go to her place to ride. I have trotted my horse in the pasture twice in the past week because I'm moving into a new house, and I'm already entered in this competition. I have no help. I have nowhere to go jump. So basically, when I take my horse up to the horse trial next weekend, it's going to be like cold. Like, I was so prepared for the last one, and it went kind of poorly, so I figure underprepared would be fine for this one. Why not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it would be perfect. Yeah, it would probably work out perfectly.
But, no, the AECs are in Atlanta. I told her, I said, if I qualify, I'll go with you because it would be so fun to go again, just being that they're in Atlanta. And I wish everybody the best of luck. It is just supposedly just the most amazingly beautiful facility with the best footing and the best of everything. So good luck to everybody that is at the AECs this week. They should be there by now.
Yep, that's pretty right. Cool. Starts tomorrow. So that's terrific. And Jamie, I don't know what happened to your microphone, but I can tell when you back off a little, it sounds a little bit better. So just don't get too close right now. Something happened there right after that interview, and I'm not sure what happened. But we can hear you, and it's fine, but just make sure you stay back a little tiny bit.
Okay.
Let's get Christy on here, but first we have to play their music. And I have to find it first. There it is. Maybe.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Christy. I was waiting to see if you'd say something. I was waiting to see if you'd stop.
I can tell. And good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
You can
host sorry.
The show sometime, you know. If we're ever both out, we'll just get Christy and Dr. Jones to host the show.
Wouldn't that be good?
Can do.
I love it because we've got her so trained that she knows when to come in. We don't even have to introduce her anymore. It's like the music ends. She's like, hey, everybody, it's sunny in 72 here in where are you again? Oh, wherever. she's got this whole thing down.
I'm in Houston now, and it is actually unseasonably cool. I don't think we've hit 70 yet today. It's awesome.
Oh, my.
It is awesome. Our high yesterday was only 91.
I know. We haven't seen the sun for a while, but it's been in the 60s. So we went from that 100 degrees into the 60s. So it's getting kind of chilly, actually, here. But that's not what we're talking about. We're actually talking about somethingwithhorse.com today, and we have Dr. Jones on there. Hello, Dr. Jones.
Good morning, everyone.
We can always tell when you're on because it sounds like you're under a horse or something.
Well, I am at the clinic, so, yeah, there's a possibility of that.
Now, we're awesome. Talking about something I know nothing about, and I don't even know what it is, really. So I don't think it's going to be too gross, so I'll lead today.
Well, that's the first thing I was going to ask you is what she thought it was.
I have no idea. It's regenerative medicine, and that doesn't say reproductive, so I just have no idea. Kind of that loss on this one. Is this kind of like stem cell stuff?
Yes, sir, it is.
As a matter of fact, it is. Very good
cool.
start.
Hold on. Don't take credit for that, Glenn, because I did have to tell him I think it's about stem cells before the show. So he did not come up with that himself.
Uh-huh. I see. Trying to take credit.
I have to tell you out, Glenn.
All right. Now we know.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Aaron, let's tell them what it really is. It's not just stem cell. There are other things as well.
Right. There's it's the new wave and the new medicine that veterinarians and human world are attempting to treat diseases and problems in people and horses and dogs and cats. There's stem cell, there's IRAP, and there's PRP. PRP we were hearing about many, many years ago, and stem cells a little bit too. But what they are is PRP is the initials for plasma-rich protein, And IRAP is interleukin receptor antagonist protein. I know that's a mouthful. And the stem cell is, of course, their adult stem cell, embryonic. We're not killing baby foals. These are from adults, meaning anything that's alive and born, that they are pulling cells that can become just about anything. They can become cartilage, they can become bone, they can become tendon, they can become ligament. It's just adult stem cells that have an ability to become something different. They're at their very early stages of life and have not decided who they want to be when they grow up.
Okay. And now, what is it advanced? See, I didn't think I knew that it was advanced enough that they're actually using it in everyday medicine with horses. Are they?
I just did two of them yesterday. If you want to call it everyday medicine, I'm a general practitioner, and I actually harvested is what it's called. Harvested, just like you would harvest the wheat in the field. Harvested fat derived stem cells yesterday, and they went off in a little shipping package to the company for them to process those stem cells out of there for me and send me back two nice little syringes, one for each horse to inject into a core lesion of their ligaments.
And what will that do for these horses? This is a perfect case study. Sorry about this, Christy. I hijacked it. But
no, go for it.
These horses have ligament damage. They each have a core lesion. In fact, it's the same leg and same ligament. And they will have these stem cells put right in the center of the core lesion so it doesn't scar in with scar tissue, because that's how the horse's ligaments heal. It will actually regenerate new ligament cells in order to make it a stronger and better healing.
How long will that take?
It's horse-dependent and size of the lesion-dependent. But we've said in the past 6 to 12 months of hand-walking, rehab, shockwave, maybe riding at a walk, ponying the horse, things like that for your average doing rehab on the horse to bring him back from a ligament or tendon injury. Now we're saying it's much shorter. 6 months is probably the longest, unless it's a really bad tear, for them to come back to work. So you're getting a quicker heal with better cells.
You know, we were talking about me sitting in Captain Kirk's chair. And this is sort of like they used to do in Star Trek with the little thingy to make it all get better.
Exactly, exactly.
It really is. And the idea behind healing something that generates, you know, I'll say original type of tissue, is that the scar tissue that forms when something heals, it's just like a lot, you know, a scar you might see on your skin. A lot of time that scar will draw down a little bit. It'll be a little bit tighter, and it's more prone to re-injury. So if you're able to actually regenerate a proper tendon and ligament tissue, then that's going to be a lot less likely to become re-injured later.
The other thing you want to think about is it's the horse's own cells trying to heal itself. Now, PRP and IRAP is the same idea. They're not cells, they're proteins, and there's proteins that are in their blood. PRP and IRAP is the process, and I can go through that process real quick. It's a process of taking blood from the horse. In IRAP, they have a syringe, and a very famous orthopedic surgeon, equine orthopedic surgeon, says there's little magic beads in there. I won't say his name, Dr. Bramlage. Anyway, you incubate that syringe that has these magic beads in them and for 24 hours. Then you spin down the blood, and you only draw off the proteins off the top, and you use those to inject lesions. And that actually decreases the inflammatory response. The PRP is you collect the blood from the horse and a syringe as well. It doesn't have magic beads, though. And you spin it down, and you drop the proteins off the top. And you can do that one stall side. There's no 24-hour wait, and inject it into the lesion. And it's the proteins fighting against the inflammation of its own body. It's just a concentrated amount of proteins, where we do have those floating through our body, and that's what dumps into any site that gets injured to fight the anti-inflammatory side of it. But this way we can concentrate them, get more power punch in one area that's needed or necessary to help fight the inflammation. So IRAP and PRP we were using for quite some time for tendons and ligaments, also in joints. And now they're using them in conjunction with stem cells a lot of times to calm down the inflammation and then let the stem cells do their job of creating.
Okay, when I was a technician, a vet tech for one of the clinics around here, I would have to go and draw blood out of a donor horse go spin it down, and we would use it as eye medication, and you would spin off the proteins, pull the proteins off the top, and then that would be something you would put into the horse's eye, and I never knew why, and I was always scared to ask, so I just learned that it fights inflammation.
It also has a fibrin component to it for the eye, so there's a little bit difference in that, because that's full serum as opposed to just concentrated proteins, and that fibrin makes a nice little matrix on the corneal ulcer for the horse to start recreating another epithelial layer.
Okay, gotcha. I just remember having to draw the blood,
yeah.
And I was never really good at putting, like I would use a syringe, draw the blood out, and then put it into the little tubes, and the little tubes, I was never really good at when I would draw the little tube out, the suction was still going, and so it would spray blood all over me. So by the time I was done drawing blood from a donor horse, I looked like I was a murder victim.
my goodness. Covered
in blood. Not the best technician, but I learned a lot. Now I'm learning more. Thank you very much. Carry on.
And the owners really love it when you walk their horses back looking like that, right?
My God.
Then you go into 7-Eleven to get a Coke or something like that, and people are wondering who you butchered down the road.
Exactly. We're just butchering, you know, sheep. I don't know. I'm covered in blood. All of my arms and my hair on my face. I mean, it was just terrible. And I would come home, and Chad would be like, oh, my God, don't come near me. You're disgusting. Go get in the shower. Take off your clothes outside.
So he had already gotten past the point of, is any of that yours?
Yeah, no, he knew better.
He
didn't want to ask. I don't know.
Right? So, yeah. Erin, we talked a little bit about eyes and tendons. Tell us a little bit about what kind of injuries you tend to treat with this.
Primarily, I've done tendons, ligaments, and joints, and actually bone cysts within the bone itself. It's also used in fracture repair, too. So I'm sure the surgeons are using it when they're going in to do fracture repair. They're injecting in and around the fracture to help regenerate that a little bit faster as well. They are looking in small animal more than they are in horses for, you know, organ issues, liver disease, kidney disease, lung, things like that. But we primarily use it for sports medicine in the horses.
Right. Very good. And you can get, looking specifically at stem cell for a moment, you can get those stem cells either from bone marrow or from fat tissue, correct?
Yes. Those are our primary areas of pulling them. Both are easy to access. I don't do the bone marrow one necessarily. That definitely requires a trip to my clinic or a clinic. You want to nice sterile and controlled environment for something like that. The fat ones you could do on site at the farm type thing, and there's just always a pocket of fat you can find in a horse. So,
right.
For me, that's just an easier one to take. Now there are those that feel fat derived is better, and there's those that feel that bone marrow is better. But there's no scientific studies one is better than the other at this point.
Okay, so where on the horse do you tend to harvest this? I'm sure Glenn wants to know.
Yes, I was curious actually.
Well, let's see. Let's throw this out to where is when you're doing your fat scale of 1 to 9, your body condition score for your horse? Where does the fat deposit on those horses that tend to be nines that are having metabolic issues that shouldn't be so fat? There's three.
You're asking me where they are?
Yeah.
Okay, the top of the neck.
Crusty neck,
crusty neck, the butt, and on the top, I mean, I would say the top of the back.
Well, behind the shoulder. There's a little pocket of fat right behind the shoulder blade. So, yeah, very good, very good. Well, on the butt means right around the tail head, and that's where we harvest it from. So you make it just a small incision, and we just pull fat from around the tail head.
I would be happy to volunteer some fat. You want to just go ahead and just nick at my love handles. Go ahead and suck out as much as you want. You're free to use that.
I was just going to say,
it's
my fat
dual benefit.
My fat deposits are in similar places. Yeah.
Now, you have a crusty neck, Glenn?
For those that are interested, I do want to throw out that they are starting to bank cord blood for foals. And there are some people that are taking them up on it. There's only a few places that do it, and I do not know those off the top of my head. I have them listed because I did have a client ask me about 6 years ago if they could bank cord blood off of their foal that was going to full. And I said, no, we don't do that. I know they do it in the human world, but we don't do it in horses. But they are doing it now. Whether they've used those embryonic cells from the cord blood or not, I don't know of anybody who's done that yet.
All right, so I have a question on that now. We're getting gross anyway. Who cares? So do you take that as a vet if you're delivering the baby right there, or do you actually send the whole thing off?
You can take that as a vet in certain packages that they send you, or they can just store it and send the whole thing off as well. It would be, I want to say it's the one place is in California, and I'm not sure if it's associated with UC Davis Vet School or not, but that vet school is working with the human side of regenerative medicine, trying to make a big bank area of regenerative cells.
Huh. And how expensive, like with the one you're doing right now that you did yesterday, so what will that run those people from the time you went there yesterday? You took the sample and then you sent it off to get it processed, and you're going to come back and you're going to stick them with another needle. What will all that run?
Well, you do ultrasound guided to make sure you're getting into the core of the core lesion of the ligament, and you have to do it under sedation. You want the horse jumping all around because all you get is one syringe to use. And you don't want to drop it on the ground. So they're looking at easily over $2,500 to get the whole thing done. And the biggest expense is the harvesting and processing.
Okay.
The actual injections are very minimal. It's like your typical injections that you would do for cortisone or any other, you know, PRP-type injections, that kind of thing. And, of course, PRP is cheaper and PrEP is cheaper. A lot of times I've had clients do the PRP with a stem cell injection. I've not done IRAP with a stem cell injection personally. I know some vets who have, but I've done a PRP injection with stem cells, and that just increases the price. Not by much, really.
Okay. Cool.
Very cool.
I'm going to ask you one other question, and then we'll have to let you guys go. Is the results? Are you seeing results that you would go, it's worth $2,500?
Clinically, that's about all we could tell you. Do we see results or not? I'm a big believer, and I'm seeing some great results with it. They do have some studies out there, but they can't. If you think about scientific studies that people do, that they, especially like FDA has to do on drugs, and this is not a drug, this is a process in the service, they'll have to take control horses that with the same injury and do hand walking, and they'd have to take another set of horses with the same injury and do the injection with the stem cells, either fat-derived or bone marrow, and do the same amount of time and see who
right.
gets better, faster type thing. That's a very expensive study and has yet to be done. There are some smaller studies they've done to show that the fat-derived and the bone marrow-derived stem cells are working well and quite nicely. So clinically is what I'll tell you right now. We're seeing some great results.
Okay, cool. Very
and
good.
I want to let you know, too, that there's obviously, as usual, more information on this on thehorse.com. You can get on there and either search regenerative medicine or stem cell therapy if that's more what you're interested in, or IRAP or PRP. So there's veterinarians are still holding a number of conferences about it to learn more about it and disseminate the information that they are learning. So we've got quite a bit of that on thehorse.com.
I got to thank you, too. You do a terrific job of coming on here and making things simple. You know, and that's so hard to do when you're a veterinarian or when you're talking about some of these topics, but you do a great job, and I just wanted to thank you and tell you that it's appreciated, and I'm sure that people are learning a ton.
Well super.
Thank
you for giving us the opportunity.
Yeah, my
Go
pleasure.
I don't know, you're not used to me complimenting you. I'm usually just throwing up, but today wasn't too bad, so I could get it in today. See, that was how I got it in. That's thehorse.com, and Dr. Jones, what's your website? Did it get fixed?
No, it did not get fixed.
I'm
going to build more than
for you here soon.
Yeah, that probably would be best. So, but it is Florida Equine, Florida spelled out, FloridaEquine.com, and I hope it's done by the end of this week, or else.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Right. Bye.
Well, that was very interesting.
I think so. I mean, it's just amazing what science can do. And I really think that a lot of the times, because of the FDA restrictions or regulations or whatever the reason may be, that almost equine medicine is further along than human medicine in so many ways. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, and I think they start there. You know, a lot of times it starts with the animals and then proceeds. Even drugs and medicines do that as well. You'll see a lot of drugs and medicines that start with animals and then end up with humans. It's almost like a case study with the animals, because I guess we don't care if we kill them, right? You know, so You know, and I'm being sarcastic there, people. Thank you.
Of course you are. But, yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of true, though, because, like, my mom has arthritis and some joints, in her thumb joint, she has arthritis. So she goes to the doctor and gets an injection of cortisone into that joint. And I said to my mom, I'm like, what else did they put in that injection? She's like, it was just cortisone. I'm like, well, why didn't they put any legend in it? Or adequate, you know. I'm like, why don't they put joint fluid back in it? Oh, because they only do that to horses. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I said, Mom, when you put that in there, that steroid in there, it's actually doing more. It's pain relief, but it's doing more damage to that joint. That's why with horses, when we do the hock injections or whatever injections, you put that steroid in there to get rid of all the inflammation and pain, but you also replace it with joint fluid. So when that steroid breaks down the remaining joint fluid, you have some extra put in there. I don't understand why they don't do that to humans. It seems like it would make so much sense. I mean, come on. So I guess it's not approved or something.
It's probably not approved. You're right. That's probably what it is. Hey, I got an update here on our question of the day, and it looks like we've had a lot of people chiming in. And it looks like the general consensus is outlaw whipping in racing. Nobody has said keep it. You know,
freedom.
You know, it is interesting. There is a comment here, too, by Katie Leavingood, who's a regular listener to the show, and I know she's probably listening right now. She says, I also agree with the last two posts as a person who loves, owns, and chose Tennessee Walking Horses. It irks me that the entire industry condemns our breeds and everyone in it, but two-year-old racehorses' legs break out from underneath them, blah, blah, blah. You know, we do – it is interesting, and Katie is right. We are selective about what we pick on in the horse world. And then other things in the horse world, if it happens to be in our area, we go, oh, that's okay. You know, so we do have to be careful of that and keep in mind also it looks like other people, you know, we haven't had anybody who's gone to CarMax except for us and you. So we have no other – oh, wait a minute. Bravo Canyon just came in and said, Mama got a new car from them and said it was a great experience. They have very happy employees and clearly treated well. The mechanic shop is clean and air-conditioned. There you go. She was worried about the mechanics, I guess.
I hate CarMax. Go ahead, enjoy it. Trying to rip me off, taking my Jetta.
We can agree to disagree on CarMax. I hope we have a good experience. We haven't gotten a new car yet, so we're going to keep trying there. Well, let's wrap up today. Let's call it a day. You have anything else you want to that we need to go over?
Well, I did want to hear your glory story.
Oh yes, hold on. I want to know if anybody else has a dog like this. Now that we've owned a dog for 2 months, the real dog is starting to come out. You know, we're starting to see the real hound here. We have a greyhound that we adopted 2 months ago. She was not on the racetrack. However, she's mostly greyhound, and we think she's partly Kentucky backwoods coonhound of some kind. But she's mostly greyhound. She seems like a greyhound. She is terrified. I mean terrified of the outdoors. Every tree, if you're going by a tree and it's a little bit windy, she looks up and she is scared to death. To the point where, like yesterday, we had those tropical winds at 20, 30 miles an hour, and we have trees all up and down our neighborhood, of course. She just loses her cookies. She just loses it. She'll run back and forth. She'll hit the end of the lead. It's just a bizarre thing that we have never seen before. If there's a noise outside, a car goes by, everything outdoors scares her to death. And as I said, to the point of losing her cookies, to the point where I think she's going to slip her collar sometime and just be gone because she's so fast. I just want to know if anybody else has another dog like that, whether there's anything you can do about it, or is she just always going to be that way? She's 3 years old. Now, they did find her as a stray, so I'm wondering if she didn't have, you know, I don't know if some wild tree attacked her or, you know, or something in a tree came out of a tree and attacked her, which is a possibility. You were in Kentucky. We do have, you know, we do have wild animals here. I don't know. It's very strange. Have you ever seen anything like that?
You know what, Glenn? If you can find the answer to your dog spooking, let me know, because we will make $1 million with horses. Because you sounded like you were describing a horse.
That's true. It's a windy
day, the tree rustles, you think that they're going to lose their cookies and run away. Yeah, been there, done that with a horse. 2,000 pounds is a little heavier than a 25-pound dog. So if you figure it out, let me know. Or you could just call Caesar Milan. Film a video of it, and he'll help you.
Yeah, I'm sure. But it is sad, you know, everything else, she's a great dog. But, boy, it's hard to take her out to go to the bathroom sometimes because she just is freaked out. We're glad when the wind stopped this morning because she still looks at every tree. And it's not that she glances at it. She studies the inside of the tree. She looks up to the inside of the tree and studies it. So that's what's telling me that at some point when she was a stray, maybe something came out of a tree, you know? I don't know. Very strange.
Yeah. I don't know, but if you figure it out, let me know, because I'll implement those to my thoroughbred.
All right, will do. Hey, don't forget, you can listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And you can also go to our website. If you want to listen to past episodes, it's the easiest thing to do is either get it through iTunes. You can just search for Horses in the Morning on iTunes, or go to our website, and you'll find all the past episodes there. And we are talking 223 of them, so you can kill a lot of time with 223 past episodes.
God, don't do that.
Thank you to all our guests today, and thank you to Chrissy for calling in. We encourage callers. Please do write down the phone number, 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear from you and about your horses. That's it, Amy?
We're done? Okay, everybody, please remember, spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, everybody. We'll see you at Peeler. You didn't notice I deleted that file, did you?